Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the front of your bulletin, you see lepers calling out to Jesus and crying for his help. This is a picture of what we hear in our gospel reading. These men suffer from a terrible disease called leprosy. And while we here in this place, in this time, don't suffer from this disease, there are still things that we fear. There are still needs that we have. We are still in the midst of difficulties and sins each and every day. So we are going to look at the needs and difficulties of these lepers and see what they do in the midst of their needs and their suffering and their difficulty, how they cry to Jesus and what they do in response to Jesus' word. And then we're going to talk about our response, how we should be like them or not like some of them in our response, both in our cry for mercy to Jesus and then also in our faith and our trust in his promises. So let's look at these lepers and their needs. Leprosy was a terrible disease at this time when this account took place. People feared leprosy. It was thought to be very contagious. It could cause parts of your body to lose sensation and become deformed. And so you notice these men are all wrapped up. Those whose leprosy did not go away could not just continue life as normal. They were to be separated from the rest of the community, even from their friends and from their family. Quarantine for them did not involve staying with their family members in their homes. It involved being separated. And so it appears here that these lepers in our account today have gathered together because they've all probably been separated from their family and friends. And so they gather together in their own community. And what's more, this quarantine that they had to endure wasn't just 2 weeks. If it didn't go away, it could mean that they were lepers for a very long time and separated from the rest of the community for a very long time. So these lepers are separated from others. They have to stand at a distance and call to Jesus, because there was actually a certain prescribed distance that they had to keep from other people. And so we see that social distancing isn't new. Neither is quarantine. These have happened in the past. And they are socially distant and quarantined from the rest of society. They can't go back to life as normal unless they're healed of their leprosy. So they need help. And what do? In the midst of their need, in the midst of their difficulty, somehow they know that Jesus is coming. Somehow they know that this is Jesus, even from a distance. And they cry out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, they don't call out, "Jesus, heal us." They don't call out, "Jesus, give us food." They don't say those things. We don't know specifically what they're asking for when they ask for mercy. But it would seem that they're asking for help in the midst of this disease. They want to be healed, it would seem. And so we see their example, what they did in the midst of their need. And we, in the midst of our needs and troubles, should have a similar response, even if we aren't suffering from leprosy. We also should cry out to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy upon us." And in fact, we do that every single week. We already did it today. When we said, "Lord, have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us," when we sang those words in the Kyrie. In fact, we've put those words on the wall because those are the words of one of the canticles that we sing every week when we cry for mercy. Even though we aren't lepers, even though we may not be suffering from a disease, or we may be, we still cry to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, help us." And this should be our cry, not only one day of the week, on Sundays, but every day of the week. Every day of the week, make this your cry. When you are in the midst of difficulty and hardship and opposition, when you do not know where to turn, when you don't know what to do, cry, Lord, have mercy. When you watch the news, and when you see terrible things going on, cry out, Lord, have mercy. When you see an ambulance drive by, when you hear that a friend or family member is now sick, is hospitalized, you can simply cry out, Lord, have mercy. Keep these words on your lips throughout the week. Know that, like these lepers, you have needs too each and every day. We all do. And we need to cry out to our Lord for mercy. But as we cry out with these words, we have to know that we need mercy not only to get through this particular rough spot, this particular difficulty, or we don't just need healing from this disease. Just as these lepers didn't just need healing from that disease, they needed, and we need, much more than that. Jesus came not only to heal, not only to make life here and now better for those lepers or for us. Jesus' life and ministry culminates in his death and resurrection. In fact, all of those healings should point us and point the people that heard them and saw them to the place where Jesus was going to go to take care of the real disease that lies at the root of every other disease, and that is sin. It was because of sin, because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, that God pronounced the curse. And because of God pronouncing the curse, then we die. We return to dust. We suffer disease and death and the corruption of this world, of this sinful world. And so Jesus didn't just come to heal the surface level problems, didn't just come to heal the diseases like leprosy or the coronavirus, but to heal the underlying disease that is the cause for all of it, which is that our sins need to be paid for. This is the mercy that we need. And he came to give us that mercy and earn for us that mercy when he died for us on the cross, where he received punishment from God the Father so that we might not be punished forever. Where he was the one who was not given mercy on the cross, where he was forsaken by the Father. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we might be the ones who receive mercy. And here it's helpful to understand a definition of the word mercy. And to think of this, when we cry, Lord, have mercy, each and every day, and when we cry, Lord, have mercy upon us in the service. One of the ways that we can understand mercy in Scripture is that mercy is for a person to not get what they do deserve, to not get the punishment that they should get. We're asking God, God, do not give me the suffering and the pain and the difficulty that I, as a sinful human being, as a poor, miserable sinner, really do deserve. Don't give it to me. And we call on God to not give it to us because of the death of Jesus for us in our place. Do not give me what I deserve. Give me mercy. And instead of giving me what I deserve, give me grace and forgiveness, all because of your cross and passion. This is what we cry out for. This is what the lepers needed. What we need each and every day is for God to give us forgiveness of all of our sins, and then also to help us through each and every difficulty. And so in every difficulty, when we see and are burdened by our sins, we cry, Lord, have mercy. When we see disease and suffering and death, we cry, Lord, have mercy. And our Lord is gracious and merciful, and he has mercy upon us. But there's a second thing that we can learn here from these lepers. Notice that after they cry to Jesus for mercy, Jesus looks at them and he tells them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, they have just cried for mercy. They've asked Jesus for help in their difficulty. And they're not healed yet. But Jesus tells them to go to the priests. Now, why did they have to go to the priests? Because the priests had to certify that they were, in fact, healed in order for them to re-enter the community. They had to be healed, they had to be well, in order for them to be among other people so that they wouldn't get them sick anymore. But they haven't been healed yet. When Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests, they have to trust that by the time they get there, by the time they show themselves to the priests, they will be healed, even though they do not see before their very eyes that right now they're healed. And all 10 of them go. This is faith. This is trust in Jesus' words. Trust that Jesus' word does what it says, and he will indeed heal them. And so they go. And our text tells us that they are healed on the way. But before we dwell on, then, the fact that we are to have a faith that trusts Jesus' word, which is true, let's look at another example of faith right here. One of them, who is a Samaritan, turns back, praising God with a loud voice, and he falls at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, this is all the more amazing because this guy's a Samaritan. He's one of the people that we would not expect to turn back. We would expect the Jews who know the promises of God, or should know them, who have been given the word of God, who should know what God has said about a Messiah, that he's going to send someone, the Christ. They should recognize that this is God himself. But it's the Samaritan, the non-Jew, the one who should not be expected to know the promises of God about a Messiah. He's the one that turns back and praises not just Jesus, but praises God, and falls down at Jesus' feet, praising him and worshiping him as God. And Jesus receives his worship. This man praises and thanks Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus now that he has received mercy, now that he has received healing. This is a wonderful example of faith. Because you see, for a Christian who has saving faith in Jesus Christ, the Christian doesn't just call upon Jesus for mercy once and then go on their merry way. Doesn't just say, well, I've been baptized, I've been confirmed, I received God's mercy in the sacrament once, and now I'm done. I'm okay. But rather, that person runs back to Jesus because they want to be with Jesus. They want to come and receive his mercy again and again. And they want to thank and praise him for his mercy, what he has given them. This is what a Christian does. This is a wonderful example of faith. And this is what you are doing here today. You have already received mercy. You've already received forgiveness. But here you are again, coming at the feet of Jesus, bowing before him, praising his name, giving thanks to him for the mercy that he has already given you week after week after week, that he's already given you in your baptism when he buried you, took upon himself your sins, and gave you God's mercy. And here you are calling again for mercy like those lepers. After having been through this week, after having encountered the difficulties and the fears and the trials, after watching the news, and you're crying to him for mercy again, and you're receiving mercy in his forgiveness, and you're thanking and praising him for it, and you're going to receive his mercy again in his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you may know when you go back out into the world this week that you have received God's mercy. And unless Jesus comes back before then, you can come back again next week and bow at the feet of Jesus like that Samaritan and receive his mercy again. Thanks be to God that he is rich in mercy to lepers, to people who are living in fear and difficulty, to people like us. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.